Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, November 14th, or Rosh Chodesh Kislev. This is the women's Mishnah share. We're in the middle of first Mishnah of Maseches Bava Kamma. Okay, Rabotai, I know it's been a while ago, due to the weather, but we started last time the first Mishnah of Maseches Bava Kamma. And the Mishnah had established on the back side of the pamphlet is the Mishnah which we read already on the back side. So I will take 20 seconds to just review the Mishnah because I want to touch upon two aspects of the Gemara commenting on this Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Arba Avot Nezikin. There are four major categories of damages. The ox that gores, a pit that you dig and somebody falls in it. Hamav'eh is, according to most, another form of an ox damaging with its teeth. And it's not that it intends to gore you, but it damages when it derives pleasure by eating your crop. V'ha'hever and fire. If you have a fire in your backyard and an ordinary wind enables it to travel to your to another backyard and burns down the guy's house, you have to pay for the damages. The Gemara said, the Mishnah said, that none of the four have similar qualities so that it was necessary for the Torah to document all four major categories. I could not learn out A from B, or B from C, or C from D. Each one had a defining characteristic. Shor the ox was kavanato lahazik. It intends to damage. The boar has an unusual characteristic that as soon as you dig it, it's already a potential mazik, and it does not travel to the person who's getting damaged. The person who gets damaged walks to it. The boar is stationary. Mave, assuming that that is an ox that eats, that derives pleasure, that's not an ox that gores. The animal is not trying to do damage. He's just hungry, and he walks into your backyard and eats the cabbage patch that's in the backyard. So that's a different category. An eish has a unique characteristic that it can't go any place unless it's assisted by another force. What is the force? The wind, the ruach. So each one has a defining characteristic. So if it has a defining characteristic and they don't share that property, for this reason the Torah had to list all four major categories. However, the Mishnah said, the last two lines of the Mishnah, that there is a common denominator. Hatsar hashaveh shebehen. There is a common denominator amongst all four. Shedarkan lahazik. They could possibly engage in acts of damage. Ushmi ratan alecha. And you, the owner, is obligated to provide shmirat, to guard, to make sure that the damage doesn't take place. That's the common denominator. That it's prone to happen. It's not out of the clear blue. It's not something that you could not have anticipated. All of these things could have been anticipated. And therefore you have to take precautions to make sure that what? That they don't indeed take place. If it would be something out of the ordinary, we could not hold you accountable because the Torah doesn't expect you to be accountable for something that is unexpected. Unexpected. So I'll give you a simple illustration of unexpected. You make a fire in your backyard and just a normal breeze, it's not going any place. But Hurricane Sandy came and the winds were 70, 80 miles an hour. And that propelled the fire from location A to location B. You can't anticipate that. You have no obligation to anticipate that. And hence, you would not be chayav. Because the common denominator is darkan lahazik, mazed derech. It's habitual, it's something to be expected. Ush mi ratan alecha. And you are obligated to watch it to make sure that it does not damage. That was the Mishnah which we read last time. So I want to handle, if possible tonight, two issues that emerge from the statement of the Mishnah, two different comments of the Gemara, one on Daf Bet, the other one on Daf Chet. So if you take the front page, the Mishnah is the back page, you take the front page, we will examine a statement which the Gemara makes. If the Mishnah tells us, Arba Avot, Av Avot, major categories, what inference can you make?
There are
subcategories, exactly. So the Mishnah will now, the Gemara will now elaborate. Says the Gemara, Midiktani Avot, since the Mishnah designates these as major categories, Avot, Michlal, you can infer the ikotoladot, that there are subcategories of these avot. And I'll give you one subcategory. Okay? If the Torah says for the ox, how does the ox cause damage when it intends to do damage? What's the illustration in the Torah? Ki yigah. Maze yigah? No, yigah. Eshtos. With the horn. He gores you with the horn. That's the ox. That's what's written black and white in the text. He uses his horns and he damages it. He comes charging at you. Good. Well, what happens if the animal bites you? He bites you. Well, that's not ki gafish. That's not the shor. That's not an ox that gores. It's an ox that bites. So the Gemara learns out that nishicha is a tolda, a subcategory of Karen. A subcategory of Karen. Or, I'll give you a subcategory of shame. Shame is, the Torah writes, the case, black and white. Your animal goes into your field, my animal goes into your field and eats the green peppers that are growing in your backyard. Okay? What's the principle? It has pleasure when it damages. Here is the case of the Mishnah. My animal has lots of flies on it. So he goes over to your house and he leans up the wall, just goes like this. And what happens to the wall? It collapses. Well, did the animal eat anything? No. But why is that under the category of shame? Because he's getting pleasure. He's getting rid of the flies. So the animal caused damage while the animal was deriving personal pleasure for him or herself. So that's a tolda. So each one of the avot has a tolda. Without looking in the Gemara, give me another area of Jewish law where there are avot. Shabbos has 39 avot and dozens of toladot. So the Gemara now will ask, again, top one, Mishkani avot, since the Mishnah formulates the text, regard from your husband. Mizikani avot, michlal inference, the ika toladot, must be that there is what? That there are subcategories. Here comes the question. Toldotehen kayotse bohen? Do we treat the subcategories, literally the children, the subcategories, as the av? Oh, lav kayotse bohen. Or by virtue of the fact that they are a subcategory, they have different halachic standards. That's the Gemara's question. And what will happen here is, the Gemara is going to find, besides Shabbat, one other area where there are avot and toladot. And in the two other areas which the Gemara will quote, one, the toladot are exactly like the av lahalacha, and the other area, the toladot, are not like the av. So the Gemara is going to explore, what about here? When you have avot by Nezikin, do the toladot follow the exact halachic pattern of the av, or are they somewhat different? So the Gemara is going to compare it to Shabbat, which you all correctly identified, and to Tum'ah. By categories of Tum'ah, there is an av ha-Tum'ah and a toladot of Tum'ah. And the toladot do not have the same impact as an av. The Mishnah, the Gemara will explain. Says the Gemara, Gabi Shabbat Nan, by Gabi Shabbat Nan, in relationship to Shabbat, the Mishnah has stated, Avot Melachot, Arba'im Chaser Achat.
There are 39 major categories of melacha. 40 minus 1. Arba'in chaserach. When we learn Masechet Shabbos, I'll explain to you why doesn't the Mishnah say 39. 40 minus 1. And expect you to take BC calculus and to figure out 40 minus 1 equals 39. So the same inference exists. Avot, once the Mishnah lists that there are 39 major categories of melacha, michlal, you can deduce from here the ikar toldot. There, toldotehen kayotze bohen. The consequences of violating the Shabbat through an av, and the consequences of violating the Shabbat through a tolada are exactly the same. Toldotehen kayotze bohen. Loshna av chatat, veloshna toladat chatat. If I violate the av bishogeg. So how do you define the word shogeg on Shabbat? How do are you mechal Shabbos bishogeg? How? Give me two illustrations. One, I forgot that it was Shabbos. I know that you're not allowed to kindle the fire on Shabbos, but I forgot that it was Shabbos. Or, alternative number two, I forgot that you're allowed to kindle. I know today's Shabbos, but I forgot that you're not allowed to kindle a fire. So that's a malach. If you violate a malach of a shogeg, if there is a Beit HaMikdash, you have to be Mekar Mechapas. The same thing is true if I violate a Shabbat with a tolda. Here is a tolda. I take a, define for me the av malach of planting. Define for me how the av malach takes place. What do you have to do in order to violate the av malacha planting? Not threshing, it's a different malacha. That's already. Dig the hole in the what?
Put a seed in.
That's correct. You have to put the seed in. That's the av malacha. What happens if I didn't do that on Friday? I did that on Tuesday. On Shabbos, I just watered my lawn.
You're helping
him
to. You're creating
rain.
Okay. That's a toladah. Because the av malacha has a circumscribed activity. Or, I prune a tree. What do I do? What's the purpose of knocking off a dead branch? What's the purpose?
To
make it grow better. So, mavrich is a toladah of noteya. Of Zoraya. Zoraya is the av, where you take something and what? You put it into the ground. Here I didn't put anything in the ground. I knocked off a dead branch. That's a tolda of Zoraya. A tolada. Because it has the same intent. The intent is to enable something to grow. But the melacha, the activity, is obviously radically different. I didn't put a seed in the ground. So that's a tolada. So if I forgot that on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to prune the tree, b'shogeg, I'll be chayav chatas. Line 6. Lo shna av skila, lo shna told of skila. If I was mechal Shabbos b'mezid deliberately, two witnesses warned me and said, listen buddy, don't plant that thing in the tree, don't pick that seed in the ground. And I said, what did I say? Remember today's chumashir. What did I say? Afal pikein. I'm doing it anyhow. You put the seed in the ground, it will cart you off the bed then and stone you. That takes place whether you deal with the av or you deal with the toladah. So now, if the av is treated as the same as the toladah, no consequences different, no different consequences, whether it was done b'shogeg or b'mezid, your next question, Rabotai, has to be what? Why is one an av and one a tolda? If they have the exact same consequences, why is one an av and one a tolda? Ask tomorrow. Oh, my ego being av and a tolda. Wherein then lies the difference between an av and a tolda? So the Gemara says, you're right. There is one small difference. One small difference. What is it? Nafkamina, the only difference would be the ilu avid shtei avot b'hadei hadadi. If somebody did two different avot at the same time, forgetting that it was Shabbos. So you were an airhead for 5 minutes. At the 8:05, you forgot that what? You knew, forgot that it was Shabbos. So what did you do? I turned on the light. 8:07, I still forgot that it was Shabbos. What did I do? I started sewing. Or, in both cases, I knew that it was Shabbos. At 8:05, I forgot that you're not allowed to turn on a light. At 8:07, I forgot that you're not allowed to knit on Shabbos. How many korbanot chatot did you have to bring? Two. Because I violated two avot. Inami, or shtei toladot b'hadei hadavi. I did two toladot of different avot, of different avot. So I did a toladah of, I just gave you a noteya. I pruned the tree. I forgot that it was Shabbos, and I pruned the tree. So I violated the law of a toldah of Zoreya. Or, I made cheese on Shabbos. I made cheese on Shabbos. I became a farmer, and I took a big vat of milk, and I threw in the rennet, and I curdled the cheese. You're going to be shocked. But is it a toldah of? What are you straining? No? No fire? You're never going to guess, so don't. I would never have thought of it, but Tosi says so. No? Well, that was a good thing. Tosi says it's bone in. You're building. You're taking loose thing, something loose, and what are you doing it? Forming it together. Okay. I'm not going to spend time today focusing, but that's what Tosi says. So here's what I did. 8:05, I pruned the tree. Tolda of Zoray. 8:07, I made cheese. Tolda of Bodhi. Says the Gemara, how many korbanot chatat? Two. So if I violate two avot or two toladot, I have the same punishment. Two korbanot chatat. But if I did this one av and its toladah, one av and its toladah, I only bring one korban. That's the only difference between an av and a tol. So what did I do? At 8:05, I took my hammer and was banging a nail into the wall. Real bone. At 8:07, I decided to make cheese. So at that time, since you're doing an av and its toladah, I'm only chayv one korban. But other than that, ladies, there are no halachic differences between an av and a tol. So when asked the question in Glad Express tomorrow, are toldotehen of Shabbat kayotze behen, exactly like the av, or not? The answer is yes, they are exactly like the av. Why are they listed independently, a category of 39 avot and dozens of other toladot? For one purpose only. In case b'shogeg, you did the same av and its toladah, you only chayav one korban chatos. Only one korban chatos. Fine. That's what the Gemara says by Shabbos. The Gemara goes off on a tangent, as it often does. I don't want to get tangentized. I don't want to go off on tangents. Now we go to the second to the last line. Gabi tumos tanan, in relationship to tuma, the Mishnah says, avot hatumot. There is an av hatuma. What are the avot hatuma? Hasheretz, a dead creepy bug. Sheretz, something that crawls on the ground. Shichvat zera, semen of a male, is an av hatuma. Utmei meit. And somebody who comes in contact with the dead human being, to my mix. Now here, toldotehen lav kayotze bohen. Now let me give you what the avot and the toladot are. Okay? The avot and the toladot.
Why is the sheretz considered an av tumah?
Because the Torah says so.
That's
real. Black and white. Parshat Shmini, Vayikra chapter 11. Here are the eight shratzim, sheretz ha'aretz, that make you go, ha'achbar, it's listed all there. Mousy is one of them. A mouse. A dead mouse is mitan. It's an av hatoma. So here is the rule of thumb. An av hatoma can impart its tum'ah to a human being, to a utensil and to food. And to food. And av hatuma. So if an I touch a dead sheretz, or I touch a dead sheretz, or a dead, any dead animal, an avela, right? I become tamei, but I become a rishon l'tuma. I become a rishon. The utensil becomes a rishon. The edible becomes a rishon. So I am now the rishon l'tuma. If I now touch you, you remain tahor. If I touch a utensil, it remains tahor. The only thing that a rishon can be mitameh is food. Only thing. So again, the av hatumah is the av. Why is it the primary category? Because it can impart its tumah to anything on this planet. To humans, to utensils, and to food. The person who is the recipient to whom tumah is imparted is one step below a rishon tumah. The rishon tumah can only further impart its tumah only to food. That's it. So if I touch the dead animal, the sheretz, or the dead creepy thing, I'm a rishon. I touch you, you remain tahor. I touch this bottle, it remains tahor. If I touch the food, it becomes tameh. The food is now a sheni l'tumah. Correct. Here comes step number three. The sheni cannot impart its tumah to any food, except if it's truma. So then it becomes truma tameh. So if I touch you, if I touch the dead animal, I'm the rishon. I touch my little apple. The apple's tummy. My apple touched the orange. The orange remains tahor. Unless that orange happens to be truma. How did it get to be truma? Because I have an orange orchard. And I separated, my due share, 2% of my origins was set aside for the Kohen to fulfill my requirement of truma. Now I touch those other oranges. My apple touched those other oranges. My apple touched them. They become a shlishi l'tuma. Now that orange, which is a shlishi, touches any other fruit in the world, it remains tahor. With the exception of kudshin, the meat of a korban. For the meat of a korban, it goes up to the fourth time.
Has that ever happened?
Of course it's happened.
Four steps?
Of course it happens. Of course it happens. We are ignoramusai in the laws of Tumah Tahara because it has no application for us. The Gemara says, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Gemara says, Badku midan ad be'er sheva. Dan ad be'er sheva. They did a survey of children from Dan all the way in the north to Be'er Sheva all the way in the south. How old is your oldest boy?
No.
Oldest girl?
Eight.
And they did not find any girl 8 years old who didn't know all the halachas of Tumah Tahara. That was ingrained in their learning process. Because you could not enter the Mikdash if you were in a state of Tumah, on the penalty of death. And there's an obligation to come to the Mikdash at least 3 times a year. So you have to be well versed in the halachot of Tumah Tahara. Well versed. Into Mantara. So here, if I was a Kohen, I had to be very careful with who touched this meat. So when you serve a salad, right? I touch the dead animal, I'm a Risha. Good. I touch the potatoes. They became a Sheni L'tuma. Now it is Truma as a vegetable then. So now becomes a shlishi. Now if I'm eating the meat of a korban, or you're eating the meat of a korban, it touches the meat, it becomes tameh. Can't eat meat that became tameh. A Kohen's not allowed to eat truma that became tameya. So these laws are important. But the purpose of this exercise is to show that by the laws of tumah, the laws of tumah, the tolda is very different than the av. Very different than the av. The potency of how far the tumah can go as an offshoot is not nearly the same as the level of the av. So there, when you are asked tomorrow in Blot Express, what is the status of toladot of tumah? Your response is lav kayotzei bohem. The tumah associated with the av is not like the toladot. I just take opportunity to tell you that the Gemara here lists tamei meit as an av tumah, but it's not. It's one really. It's because it's loose here. A dead person is avi avot hatumah. Not just an avatum, he's avi avot, the grandfather of all tumot. And here's what happens. When avi avot touches anything, it becomes an av. Then the av touches it, it becomes a rishon, and so on and so forth. So what's happening here is that there is no doubt that in relationship to the category of tum'ah, lav kayotzei bohem. So what the Gemara has done thus far is set up the test case. The Mishnah stated that by damages there are avot nizikin. What conclusion did we extract? You did it. I didn't tell you. What conclusion did you reach? If there is a major category, there's got to be subcategories. Says the Gemara, there are. The question which the Gemara is pursuing is, do the subcategories enjoy the exact same halachot as the avonat? So the Gemara is looking for elsewhere for guidance. Two other areas of Jewish law where the Mishnah uses the expression of avot. One was Shabbat. So the Gemara said, by Shabbat there are 39 primary categories of malacha and hundreds of toladot. There the Gemara's conclusion is, Toldotein kayotze bahem. If you violate an av b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chatos. If you violate an av b'shogeg, a tolda b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chatos. If you violate an av b'mezid deliberately, you get stoned. If you violate a tolda b'mezid, you get stoned. So ask the Gemara correctly. Why is some called avot, and why is some called toladot? Why is knocking a nail in the wall called bona the av, and why is making cheese a tolda? A tolda. Why is putting in the seed an av and pruning the tree, that's only a tolda? Why? Says the Gemara, there aren't too many differences. There is only one difference. That if on Shabbat you are an airhead for a prolonged period of time, and you violated Shabbos twice, two separate avot. How many karbonat chatas? Two. Two separate toladot? Two chatat. But if you do an av and its toladot, at 5 minutes apart, you only bring one karbonat chatas. Yes?
What about two toladot of the same av?
Two toladot of the same av? Same thing. Only one. Only one. So, but other than that, toldotein kayotze bahem. Second area of law when a Mishnah uses the expression of avot. That was Tumah and Tahara. There we just demonstrated that the toldotehen, the offshoots, are not the same as the av. They don't have the capacity to impart Tumah the way the av does. The av imparts Tumah to everything on this planet, humans, utensils, and food. They become a Rishon. A Rishon can only impart its Tumah to a Sheni if it's food. Not to a utensil, not to a human being. So by tumah, the toldotehen lav kayotze bahem. The Gemara now returns to our mission. What about the avot by nizik? Okay, now let's read the mission. Read the Gemara. Let's read the Gemara. We're on the next page. On the next page. So here, the Gemara on the top of the page, it just tells you what I just said, what I just explained to you. One, the ilu av, if you're confronting an av, mitamei adam v'kelim, it can impart its tuma to a human being or to a utensil. The ilu toladot, however, a rishon ochlin umashkin mitamei, a rishon can impart its tuma to food and drink. Adam v'chelim lo mitamei. But a rishon that touches a human or a utensil, the human remains tahar, the kelim remain tehorim. Hacha mai. What is the halacha here by nezikin? Okay? Amar Rav Papa. Says Rav Papa. Yesh mehen kayotze bahen. V'yesh mehen lav kayotze bahen. There are some of the avot that some toladot follow the av, and some toladot don't follow the av. Okay? That's Rav Papa's answer. I'm going to give you a preview. We're not going to do the rest of the sugya. I'm going to give you a preview. What?
Just curious, is this the Rav Papa?
Of course. He's the father of all those guys. Rami Bar Papa, Chaim Bar Papa, 11. 11 children, all Talmidei Chacham. That was his zechut. That's why he's recited that's a thing. He had 11 children, all Talmidei Chachamim. Therefore, they are mentioned at the seder. So now I'm going to give a little preview. The Gemara will spend page after page trying to identify which one is Tovosei and Lav Keyotzeh. Which one is Tovosei and Lav Keyotzeh? And the Gemara comes up with the conclusion that every single tolda of every single av is kayotze bahem. Every single one. There's only one tolada which is lav kayotze bahem. Try this tomorrow on Dad Express. See if anybody knows it. Ask any guy. Ask him. Only one tolada is lav kayotze bahem. And it's called Srorot. Srorot. Okay? I'm going to illustrate it for you. I told you last time, that one of the avot melacha of a shor is regel. Regel. What is the defining characteristic of regel? What was the defining characteristic? It just walks. As opposed to the ox that gores, because it intends to do damage, as opposed to shame to the tube, where it is damaging for what reason? Why is it causing damage? Because it's hungry, hanok, or rubbing against the wall and scratching its back and driving back a tolda of Karen. Regel has neither of the above. It's just walking in the street and it steps on your utensils. Or steps on something and smashes it. That's all. No benefit, no intention to damage. Regel. Its defining characteristic is derech hilucha. It's just walking, minding its own business. It's like all those people who walk their dogs every single morning at 2 in the morning, right? It's 12 degrees outside, and they're walking the dog faithfully, no doubt. And the dog's walking along, and it steps on something, and it breaks it. It breaks it. So regel is chal. Here there is a tolda of regel that does the following. Your animal is walking around and it kicks a stone and the stone breaks your window. Smashes your window. Okay, here's the case. The animal is walking along, not doing it. It didn't intend to kick it. It doesn't get any damage. It's just walking. As it walks, it kicked the stone. Nothing happened to the stone. It caused damage by smashing your window. That is a tolada of regel. Tolada. Why is it not the av? Because the Arab has a very well-defined way of defining it. It walks, and when it steps on the something, what does it do to the item it steps on? It breaks it. Here, the item its body came in contact with caused no damage whatsoever. The rock didn't break, but it launched something. That's called Tzvorot. There is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that Tzvorot only pays chatzines. Tzvorot, this case of indirect damage caused by the foot, indirect, only pays 50% of the damage, not the whole damage. Don't ask me why, I don't have any logic. It's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. That means it's nowhere in the Torah text. There is no limud that we could have used one of the 13 midrash Torah and drash b'hem. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai and told you and me, listen, buddy, Tzvorot is chatzines. That's it. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Why does it make sense? Okay, good.
You know, if it was something that the thing itself would be destroyed, then you'd say, boy, it was a lot of force and all that, but it's unforeseen.
Okay.
But it's unforeseen because you're saying that that's the only place that...
Of course. Was it foreseen that I made my fire in my backyard? Did I foresee that it's being traveling to your house?
But it was a fire which has potential damage.
No, but even if you're going to look at Shane or if you're going to look at Karen.
Right.
So the indirect consequences of that would still be a full nezek.
Correct.
So that's
that is correct. An indirect Karen, there will be such illustrations, will pay full.
But the operative thing here is that the thing itself is right. If the thing was damaged.
Correct.
So
correct.
That's really a correct. Step
you want to establish logic for it, it's fine. But listen, ladies and ladies, of all of the Toledot, and each one has dozens of them, there is not one exception to the rule other than this one. Every other tolada, I'll give you a tolada, okay? I have a brick on the top of my roof. Sitting there finding it, a brick. A loose brick. It's a flat roof. Nothing's happening. The wind came and blew off the rock and it smashed and hit somebody in the head on the way down. What's the mazik? What are the four categories you're putting in? Is it an ox that gore? No. Did an ox eat? No. What is it? It's fire. Eish.
Yeah, it's fire.
Why is it fire?
Because it trans, so...
Because it had another force that participated.
The wind.
So you can have the mazik of Eish, not by the fire. So every single, without exception, every single tolada of every single av is full liability, no halakhic distinction between Av and the Tov, except for this one. Except for this one. So when Rav Papa says, Yesh mehen, Yesh v'yesh, the Gemara is going to push Rav Papa against him and says, okay, let me hear this. And two blocks later, the Gemara is going to say, it's only Chatzi Nezik Tzvorot. That's it. That's it. But let me ask you the following question. Let me ask you the following question. Let's assume there would have been, let's assume we would say, Toldotehen lav kayotze bohen, and you would not have to pay at all. Let's assume there was such a thing. Here it's only half nezek. You pay for 50% of that. Let's assume that you would have such a thing. Then a tolda, just imagine, you're in the world, Mr. Rogers' world of make-believe. Just make-believe there was such thing as a tolda and you don't have to pay a penny. Okay. What question would you ask the Gemara when it made such a statement? In what way is it a tolda of nezek? If there is no liability, no compensation, by what virtue do you identify something as a tolda? By what? So the Brisker Rav says, I'll tell you. Here is my case. My case. What a case. One of the forms of damage is a human. or my animal. I'll just say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my dog, Fluffy, and tell him, go into your house, go into your backyard, and go up for Fluffy and eat the whole thing in the backyard. And I'm fully prepared to pay for it. I'm not looking to get out of it. I want Fluffy to eat up every tomato in your backyard, and I will pay for it right now. Or I'm going to punch you in the mouth and pay all the damages. Five things. Medical bills, unemployment, damage, everything I'll pay. I'll pay everything. Am I allowed to do it or not? Am I allowed to do it or not? What would you say?
You'd say no.
Your gut reaction should say no.
Right.
So what do you have to conclude? Why are you not allowed to do it? Why are you not allowed to do it? And don't tell me because it's unethical. Tell me, why are you not allowed to do it? I am prepared to pay you for every tomato my dog eats. You will not be spared a penny loss. Why am I not allowed to do it? Must be that in addition to having Nezikin included in the parsha of Mamonot, that there exists an Isur today. It's prohibited by God's law to cause human damage, even if you plan on paying for it. Even if you plan on paying for it. Therefore, says the Brisker Rav, even if I could have had Toldotehen Lav Kayot Sebahen, not like Rav Papa will tell us later on that you pay Chatzi Nezek with my guy kicking the rock. Let's assume it doesn't exist. You don't pay anything when your foot animal causes the rock to go. There was no halakha of Moshe Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu never came down from Sinai and told us. What would be our gut reaction? Do you pay or you don't? We can say you don't pay. Why not? Because it's not direct damage. It doesn't follow the exact footprint of the av, of the av. You should be partner entirely. That means you're allowed to do it. Because if you don't pay for it, you're allowed to do it. Therefore, the Mishnah has to identify, the Gemara has to identify, that something is a tolda, even if it will be exempt from punishment. Why is it a tolda? Because you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. Any action which leads to financial loss on behalf of somebody else, any action that leads to human suffering, because I punch somebody in the mouth, even though I'm ready right here to write out the check, I'm paying for the full medical bills, there is an isur to cause physical damage, and there is an isur to be responsible for financial loss of somebody else.
That's min
hatoyr. Min hatoyr. Correct. We're going to have to struggle to find a puzzle. We will get to it a little later. To identify the biblical source that aside from the potential damages, why it is biblically prohibited. But says the Brisker Rav, that is the essence why we now will identify something as a tola da, if you hold toldotehen lav kayot sebahen. But I already spilled the beans. All of the avot, all of the tola dot by nezikin are kayot sebahen. Follow the exact same step. Whenever you're chayiv on the av, you're chayiv on the tolda. Whenever you're potter on the av, and I'm going to show you some illustrations where you're potter, you will be potter on the tolda as well. Where there's only one case, regel, it's called tsroro. And it's known in the yeshivish jargon as chatzi nezek tsroro. Chatzi nezek, half them, tsroro, where the animal kicks something, and that cord launches a missile, and it causes something to be destroyed. That's the only time that Toldo said lav kayotzim. That's point number one. Point number two, please now look at the next page, where I bracketed the Gemara. I bracketed. We reread the Mishnah tonight. The Mishnah stated that there are four major categories. But at the end of the Mishnah, The Mishnah stipulated that there was a common denominator amongst all of the four. Hatzav Hashaveh Shebahem. The common denominator. What was the common denominator of all of the Avot? What's the common denominator?
They all do damage.
They all do damage. Darkum Lahazik. And as a result, you are obligated to watch it. You're obligated to make sure it doesn't happen. You, the owner, have to take the necessary precautions that that act of damage, which is prone to happen, doesn't happen, and you have to watch, and you pay for that lack of liability. You're liable because you didn't watch, provide the Shemira.
So that's what Nezikin is about, failure to provide the Shemira.
Correct.
It's not like what you were describing before, an intentional act.
Correct. Nothing to do with intent.
Right.
On my part. That's correct. So now, the Gemara has asked the following question along the route. This is our pay of advance. Well, if there is a common denominator which includes all of them, what question will now emerge? And therefore say it a little sharp. Why do I need all four illustrations of what? Of Nezek, if they all are what? If they share a common denominator. So if they share a common denominator, what should my pea brain allow me to do? If A is prohibited, because what feature does it have? If A generates responsibility, why does it generate responsibility? Because it's prone to happen, and I am obligated to watch it. Well, B, C, and D have the same feature, the same trait. So I should say, what do I need a pasuk for? Okay, but I have this. If they're all different, that's a very good reason. But I'm focusing on the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah strips each of the four of their differences and only focuses on what? Their common feature, their common denominator. So I ask you, the Gemara asks, when the Mishnah lists Arba, Avot, Nezikin, four major categories, each one, as we already described, with their own characteristic, we know they might have to list all four. Why do they have to list all four? Because characteristic A is not shared by B. Characteristic B is not shared by C. But the end of the Mishnah chooses to ignore distinctions. The end of the Mishnah said, Hatzad Hashaveh Shavahed. There is a common denominator. Once there is a common denominator, it might have been sufficient to list one or two, and then I'll figure out the other two myself, because they share the common denominator. So without the Torah stipulating, I would have been inclined to prosecute, not based on what the Torah said, but based on what? My own sense of logic. Why would my own sense of logic be sufficient? Because it shares a trait. It has a tzad ha-shaveh, a common denominator. So the Gemara is going to answer. Ela lemai hilchita katvinu rachmana. So why did the Torah spend X number of psukim writing out all four of the Nezikin? Why did the Torah do so? Lehilchote. Because there are specifics that apply to each one, just doesn't apply to the other. So the Gemara is going to cave in and say, if there were no individual details that would be unique to Keren and to Aish, then you're right. I would not have to write all four about Nezikin. I could have written two and derived the other three and number four without any scriptural verse. But because each one of them has one, at least one halacha that does not apply to the others, therefore the Torah had to formally document and record each of the four. Here is what the Gemara says. L'may hilchotah, l'may katvin rachmana, l'hilchotehen, for the unique halachot, and the Gemara will explain. Kerem, l'chaleik bein tam l'mu'edet. Keren has an unusual feature. Keren is the ox that gores with intent. It is the only one of the Avot Nezikin that distinguishes between the first three times it happened and the fourth time that it happened. The first three times that an ox gores, it's called a shortam.
Tam. Tam meaning innocent. Yaakov Ishtam. An innocent little boy. Yoshe Bohalev, this week's parsha. It's a simple, it's an innocent little ox. He bent that little Meshugga a couple of times. But the first three times, you only pay half the damage. Only half. After the fourth time, it becomes a pattern, you pay full damage. But when my ox goes into your backyard and eats your tomato patch, the first time, you pay Nezek Shalom. Full damages. My ox is walking and falls into a pit, you pay full damage. So Karen, the ox that goes, Shor, the ox that goes with the Karen, has a halacha that is not shared by the other three. Therefore, could I have learned, if the Torah had not listed Karen, would I have thought of that? No. So therefore, Karen has to be listed X, Y, and Z, black and blue in the Torah, because it has a unique halacha that is not transferable to any other av malacha. Not transferable to another av malacha. Number two, shein v'regel lepotron b'rishut harabim. Shein v'regel lepotron b'rishut harabim. Meaning, my ox, I'm walking my dog in the street, and you left your bag of peaches on the street. What do you expect my animal to do? Not to eat it? Why do you leave it there on the street? You left your pot in the middle of the street. So what do you expect my animal to do? Walk around it? He can't do that. He just walks, he steps on it. So Shane and Regel are only chayav if my dog goes into your backyard and eats the fruit. Damages the utensil. But if it's in public thoroughfare, Bereshus HaRabim, Shein and Regel HaPatur. That does not exist by boar. That does not exist by the ox. If my ox gores you in a public thoroughfare, I have to pay. First three times, half the damage. On the fourth time, full damage. So the unique tchuna, the unique halakha, it's not a defining characteristic. It's a halakha. That for some reason, and the Gemara learns that everyone is from an inference from a pasuk. An inference from a pasuk. That by Shein and Regel, it is Patur v'Rishus HaRab. Number three. Bar. Liftor bo et hakelim. A bar, if I fall into a pit that you dug in the street, you have to pay for the damage if I break my leg. But if my utensils fall in, you don't have to pay me anything. What?
What's this next thing?
No, that's Rabbi Huda. That's Rabbi Huda.
And he says not. He says that your five on his KK one, but then says the turbo is Adam.
Because Rabbi Huda holds you are chayav on Niskei Kelim.
Yes, I know.
So what's the only exception? According to him, Niskei Adam.
But if Niskei, okay, so
Niskei
is the exception to
it's not. To bar. Correct.
This
is a bar is always Berusha Sarai.
Oh.
This is in a public thoroughfare. Tell me why, if I have a pit in my backyard, you fall in it. Why am I not crying? Who told you to walk into my backyard? Who told you? It's my yard. What are you walking? I can do whatever I want on my property.
But you're also supposed to take precautions. It could happen.
That's a different halacha. What's that halacha known as? What's that halacha known as? When you have a pit, and make sure what's that halacha known as? That's the halacha of ma'akeh. Correct. That, like a swimming pool. The Torah illustrates it with ma'akeh le'gagecha, putting a fence around you because their roofs were flat and they used it. In our day and age, it refers to anything where there is a potential damage on your piece of property. You have to put a fence around it. But not because I am held accountable for the damages. The damages. If I had a fence around there and you walked in, I don't have to pay you a thing. and it don't violate anything.
Because the fence will automatically tell you, I don't want you in
there. Accent, exactly. So, bar is with Torah Kedim. What about Ula Rav Yehuda, the Mechayev al Niske Kelim Bebar? Rav Yehuda disagrees with this halach. He says that when my utensils fall into your pit and they break, you have to pay me. You have to pay me. So what's the unique characteristic of the bar? What's the unique characteristic of the bar?
This was my question from before.
Answers to Liftor bar he'adam. So the Gemara explains later, it means if the human dies.
Not injury.
If the human dies. If a human dies, step walking into the pit in the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Rabbi Yehuda says, I am not held accountable. I am not liable for the human death. Only if he breaks his arm. It's learned out from a pasuk. I'm not going to discuss it now. But I just want to show you what are the unique halachot of each one which derives for us the obligation of the Torah to spend ink space listing each one of them. Eish liftor bo et hatamun. Liftor bo et hatamun. Excuse me. Adam, I skipped that. Adam, l'chai ve'bar bar bar. Assuming that the word maveh in the Mishnah, is Adam hamazik, that was Rav's opinion, not Adam hamazik. Why do I have to list Adam hamazik? Why? Because it has a unique characteristic that it doesn't only pay for damages. Pays for four things besides the damages. You pay for what? Ripui, doctor bills, unemployment, pain, and shame. That's only by damages inflicted by a human on another human being. That's not shared by my ox. So then you are in terrible pain if my ox breaks your ribs. I don't pay for pain. I pay for damages only. I don't pay for your doctor bills. Damages only. But a human, Adam, lechayvo be'arba'a dvarim, to mandate that you pay, in addition to the damage, four other obligations.
Can you repeat the four obligations?
Yeah. Ripui, tsa'ar, shevet. Shevet is unemployment. And boshet, shame. The eighth parak of Baba Kama discusses the shame. How do you evaluate pain and shame? How do you evaluate it? Damages are very easy to evaluate. Debt medical bills, very easy to assess. Unemployment, very easy to assess. How do you evaluate pain and shame? What's the price tag? So the Gemara puts the price tag at how much you would pay not to suffer that pain. How much do you pay? If I'm going to break your arm, it's going to be painful. Now, if there was a certain price where if you would not be willing, you would rather suffer the broken arm than pay me $12 million. I would imagine there would be. Everyone's got their price. So what is considered the same thing with pain and shame? How much would you be willing to pay rather than be humiliated in public? It's not an unlimited amount. It's not unlimited. It's the how you measure and evaluate. There's a whole Gemara about it. But it's one of the more difficult things, and it's fairly subjective. Yes?
No, I'm just wondering, is it how much that particular person was paying, or how much a reasonable person was paying?
Okay, there is some discussion about that. Mm-hmm. There is some discussion. It's a very good question. Aish? What's the unique halacha that applies to Aish? Liftor bo et hatamun. To exempt you from damages if the item that was hidden. Hidden. What happened? My fire traveled across my fence into your backyard and burnt down your silo. But underneath all of the bushels of wheat, inside it was hidden inside it was something else. My tuxedo.
Iris' tuxedo.
Okay, so that's where he is. So now it burnt down the tuxedo. I don't have to pay the tuxedo because it was tamun. Again, I'm not going through the details now. What?
That shouldn't matter anyway because nobody intended. The fact that it's hidden should not be an issue.
I grant you that. I'm not discussing the logic of it right now. There's a whole perek in Bava Kamma that discusses the mazik of Esh. Sixth parak, we'll get to it in many moons. Mm-hmm. Many, many moons. So the reason the Gemara comes to the conclusion, why did the Torah stipulate all four major categories if at the end of the Mishnah there was a common denominator which said I could learn out 3 and 4 from number 1 and 2. I could learn out 1 and 2 from 3 and 4. Answer, because there are unique halachot to each which don't apply to the other. And if they don't apply to the other, I cannot derive any chidush whatsoever from that particular situation. I cannot. Logic could not be applied to apply this halacha to that and that halacha to this. Hence, the Mishnah, the Torah rather, has to list all four categories. Kacha omeret ha-gemara. Okay. We'll stop here.